Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Our first reading is from John chapter 17, verses 6 to 23, and can be found on page 1095 of the Church Bible. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I'll remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 5, and can be found on page 1149 of the Church Bible. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Debbie, for bringing that reading to us. Good evening, everybody. My name's John. I'm one of the members here. Let's just start with a prayer before we open up God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have your word. We thank you that you speak to us through it, and we pray that that will be our experience here this evening. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would meet with us, encourage us, challenge us and comfort us as you see fit. We welcome you and ask that you would do your work amongst us this evening as we look to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In his introduction, Dima gave us the background as to why we're going to be spending the next few weeks reflecting on the characteristics of what it means to be a Christian community. And as we kick off the series, our subject this evening is to address that question: what is Christian community? And you might have your own ideas formed in your mind. But there is a real danger that we could have a wrong impression as to what Christian community really is. In his book, Life Together, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that incredible man, rightly warns us against idealizing Christian community. He writes, "The person who loves their dream of community will destroy community." It's easily done, but we should avoid creating in our own minds and imaginations what we want Christian community to be, if it varies from what God tells us it actually is. Now, wherever and however communities in our society are formed, they usually rely on common interest and relationship at some level, however fragile or poorly motivated those relationships might be. We know the example of a sports team with dedicated community of players and fans, or perhaps a cultural community around a particular race or ethnicity. Whatever the common interest, the members all bind together in relationship in some shape or form, don't they? But the Christian community, the church, is very different. In fact, it's like nothing else on earth. The church is created by God as an integral part of his plan of salvation and restoration for a broken world. And membership of this community is obtained by faith in and through Jesus Christ. And our reading in Romans 12 made the point, in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So straight away, we can see that the unique identifier of the community we profess to be members of is that we are in Christ. But what does that actually mean? Well, what it means is that Jesus Christ is everything to us. We acknowledge who he is as Son of God and our Lord and King. And by faith, we trust what he has done for us, taking the punishment for our rebellion against God by his death on the cross and bringing us back into relationship with our Creator God. And by his rising from the dead, giving us sure and certain hope for life eternal, united with God in a new heaven and earth. Now that sounds fabulous, doesn't it? But if we leave Christ out, all we are left with is us being leaderless, hopeless, and purposeless. On the other hand, in Christ, we become part of God's family, God's people in whom he lives. We become God's new society, agents of change, bringing God's kingdom rule of light and life, justice and peace into a dark and troubled world. So all the blessings, gifts, and relationships we're brought into as the people of God are ours by faith in Christ, because we've recognized him, believe in him, and follow him. And Jesus himself acknowledges this truth when he's praying for his followers in that passage that we read in John 17. And which extends to all of us who believe. "For I gave them the words you gave me," he prays, "and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me." Dietrich Bonhoeffer recognized the essence of what Christian community means when he wrote, "Christian community means community through and in Jesus Christ. No Christian community is more or less than this." So that's the Christ-centered basis on which a proper definition of Christian community rests. But let's have a look now at what sort of shape that community might take. You'll have noticed in our reading from Romans how Paul uses the analogy of a body, as he describes Christian community. And it's a useful and powerful metaphor that reinforces the idea of relationship, diversity, and interdependence, and brings with it the important concept of unity. Individual members belonging to Christ and each other. And the Apostle Paul expands this body imagery in his first letter to the Christians who were meeting in the town of Corinth. It's a longish passage, but I think it's worth us reading through it this evening, because it kind of fills in some of the detail of what goes with this image of us being analogous to a body. So let's read it together. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 says, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles. Some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many parts, not just one part." Starts to get a bit humorous, I think, here. If the foot says, "I am a part, not a part of the body because I am not a hand," that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, if you can imagine an ear saying, "I am not part of the body because I am not an eye," would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honourable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honourable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honour and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honoured, all the parts are glad. Now, just to get a bit of action in here this evening, I just want you to take a moment to look at the people around you. Just take a minute, second, just have a look round. Just turn around in your pew, just look at the people around you. What do you see? We see a lot of variety, don't we? Young people, old, weaker, stronger, different skin colours, male and female, different sizes, different views and opinions, different life experience, glorious human diversity. But in Christ, even though we are so diverse, we are all united as his people, his body, the church, which continues to grow by the power of his Holy Spirit to include members of every tribe, nation, and language on earth. And so Scripture gives us a great picture of a body made up of many parts representing the community of Christ. And as you sit here this evening, you might recognize that you are part of that body. But do you know where you fit in? Now, Mr. Potato Head, I think, is quite a good illustration. You know, as a kid, you're taking all the parts off and then working out where they go and trying to put bits in where they should go and maybe bits in where they shouldn't go. It's quite good fun. But it has that thought about it, doesn't it? That different parts coming together to make a whole. And we get a bit of a clue to help see where we should fit in as Paul's anatomical analogy continues. In verse 18, he says, "But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it." And that tells us that where you are placed in the body of Christ is important, because God has a plan and a place for the function of the body and each part within it, including you. Elsewhere in the Bible, we're told that God has given each of us particular gifts or skills to use in service for him to help the body function. And some parts, Paul describes in what we read, as having functions of care and protection and honour for other parts of the body. Now, you may be technical or practical. You might be good at teaching or making people feel welcome. But maybe you're feeling unsure about where you fit into the body. And if you are feeling unsure of your place, or indeed your value this evening, be encouraged, because God sees you, God values you, and has a plan and a place for you in the body. Verse 22 of the passage we read says this: "In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary." Now, any time spent close to any Christian community brings the realization that it needs a lot of care. And we recognize that in our natural bodies, don't we? And so it is with the body of Christ. Members of our community get injured and hurt, become older and more frail. Sickness and suffering strike unexpectedly. And when that happens, we all feel it. But we also invariably find that there are those who quickly rally round to provide help, love, and support in many ways. Perhaps a listening ear, or sharp eyes that see a need that others have missed, legs and feet to come alongside, and arms that carry shopping, hands that can fix a shelf or open a Bible and share Christ with others in the scriptures. Perhaps you have a mouth that speaks encouragement, comfort, or correction, or whispers a prayer. And hopefully we're all developing soft hearts that break with those who sorrow and leap for joy at times of celebration. If we're honest, sadly, the injuries and wounds inflicted on the body of Christ are often self-inflicted. One part of the body fails suddenly, and the rest goes into temporary paralysis at the shock, perhaps. And it's true. The church can look pretty messed up at times. Bruised, misshapen, hopelessly divided, morally compromised, bits lost and missing like an incomplete and discarded Mr. Potato Head. But perhaps recognizing our natural frailty, all those centuries ago, we find the Lord Jesus in our John 17 passage, deep in prayer for the holiness, protection, and unity of his followers. Failure and division within a community is a terrible witness to outside observers, especially in the church. But if our Lord prayed for our unity, surely we should pursue that and pray for it ourselves all the more. But the beauty and gift that the church is that despite its flaws, when we share God's love with those around us, it's at its Christ-centered, self-sacrificing best, giving love, nourishment, care, direction, and protection like no other to fellow members, and especially to those who are particularly exposed or vulnerable. And Bonhoeffer reminds us of the power of love in the rest of the quote that we looked at earlier. The person who loves their dream of community will destroy community, but the person who loves those around them will create community. So as we live in community together, we should reflect the overwhelming mercy, love, and grace of God that we know and experience daily to those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. But if all we do is share and serve ourselves, insulated, isolated from the world around us, we fail to fulfill a vital role in the world that the Christian community is tasked with. If that was the case, we would rightly be accused of being introverted, self-seeking, and insular. And that is a criticism that is put towards the church at times. The community we've been called into is not insular. We are a community called to action by word and deed, to spread the love of God into the wider world and communities around us. The good news of Jesus is a gift from God, too good to keep to ourselves. And we have been commanded by Christ to take it into the world and to live in a new way that Jesus taught and modeled whilst he was on earth. In the same way that we're called to serve and love each other, we're also called to show our love to our neighbours and enemies, that by God's grace, they might themselves become part of the church, the body, united with us through faith in Christ. The great theologian N.T. Wright describes the church as, he says, it should be the working model of God's new creation. Earlier, I asked you to look around where you were sitting, and I'm going to ask you to do some more looking now. But this time, you don't have to turn around. This time, in your mind's eye and imagination, I want you to look at people you know who are not with us in this room, but people you live with or are related to. Perhaps they're people that you work with, exercise, or socialize with. Are there ways that you can show love to them? In what ways can you be Christ to them? Can you speak up for someone who is being denied justice? Can you speak peace into a situation of conflict? Or would a neighbour be grateful for prayer if they are sick or have been bereaved? We've got the Thy Kingdom Come initiative starting. Maybe you can think of five people as a start that you can put on your list of five. And as you pray in faith for those people, see how God works in them and uses you. But more than that, in addition to those prayers and vital practical expressions of love and support that you can think of for you in your setting, let's carry to those around us the life-changing good news of Christ, the love gift from God that we've received, that we know brings hope and life that our broken world so desperately needs. But to track back and just repeat the point made earlier, we'll need to be united to be effective in our task. We need to really embrace the lessons from Christ's prayer in John 17, verse 23, and strive together to experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. So in Christ, we're united and diverse sharing God's love with those around us. Unity is a powerful witness to a watching world, perhaps because it's so rare and difficult to achieve. But when unity combines with love one for another in all our diversity that Jesus commands of his followers, Jesus himself tells us it's a powerful, life-changing witness to him as other people recognize Christ in us. As we close, I'd just like us to take a minute to reflect on an invitation that's in a couple of parts. Firstly, if you're not sure tonight or secure in the knowledge that Jesus is your Lord and King, or if you're not sure if you're really part of the community that I've described that is the body of Christ, can I just say you're welcome this evening? We're really glad that you're here with us. But don't leave with any doubts or questions unresolved. Our invitation to you is to find out more. And we've got a number of ways that you can do that. And any one of the team would be happy to talk to you this evening. Secondly, if you're challenged to grow deeper in service for Christ, then perhaps the challenge is, and the invitation is, to lean in and get more involved in the community, to find something that you can do, you know you can do, that will be helpful in helping the body to function and for us to declare Christ here and for us to be supported and built up as we act as the church and community in the settings and environments where God has placed us. Or maybe you're not sure what your gifts are or which part of the body of Christ that God has placed you in where you can play your part. Well, we can talk about that together amongst us. And can I invite you to press into that challenge and seek out someone who can help you with that? But let's finish, church, by remembering that in Christ, we are in Christ, united and diverse, sharing God's love with those around us. Dina's going to come and close us out this evening with the band, and he'll give further details of help and prayer ministry that's available this evening as we wrap up. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.